Hey, can you hear me?
Okay, good. Well, so can your potential customers, right here on your Odyssey station. You might be used to skipping social ads, but you are still listening to me right now. And so are your clients. To learn how to drive more business and how Odyssey can help get your message to your customers, visit stateofaudio.com. That's stateofaudio.com.
Usually, I have zero trouble generating energy and enthusiasm on a Thursday night. So we think about a couple hours to Friday morning and our weekend, which begins pretty early on Friday. We're always happy for that. And then when it's a payday, I have even less trouble generating energy. Though I got to tell you, this paycheck is already spent. It's the life of a radio host. But for some reason, and actually I do know the reason, I am running short on energy. I'm going to need somebody to teleport me some energy. Can you? I don't really believe that good vibes do a whole lot long distance, but can you send me some energy vibes if you think that might help? I could really use some. It has been one murderous week for sleeping, and I know it gets this way every summer because it's brighter and my room is brighter than normal. The angles of the sun and the hours of the sun and the heat of the sun. It's our first hot, sticky week. And I know that the air condition is going, but in capes, when you are upstairs, it's pretty typical of a cape. A lot of times it's really challenging to keep it cooler. For a lot of reasons, mostly the roof. So I guess that's the issue. That's why the sleep has been so tough this week, which is such a bummer because it would have been a great week for sleeping with holiday and it was quieter in my neighborhood to start the week, but it has just not been that way. Oy. And so I need to borrow some energy. I'll give it back to you at some point when I have extra to spare. I could use some right now, though, if you want to wave it into the universe. Yeah! Oh, that just also makes me tired. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. And when I'm tired and more worn out, and it's been about 3 or 4 days of not sleeping great. So when I'm tired and I feel like I'm running on empty, my wagon is sagging and my gas tank is on E, I get really emotional, which would explain why I nearly cried on the way to work when some gentleman driver in front of me decided at the last second that he didn't want to be going the way that we were going. And so he tried to slam on his brakes and go around a barrier, but he was too late. He couldn't make that turn, nearly hit the barrier sideways into my lane. I had to slam on my brakes, and because it happened so quickly, the container of cupcakes that I was carrying on my seat, bringing in for other coworkers who complained about not having their own cupcakes. It's not my fault you didn't work July 4th. Co-workers who I decided I would generously share the cupcakes with, well, the cupcakes went flying. Of course, upside down, because cupcakes and Tupperware, they never stay right side up anyway. And so there's chocolate all over the container, and the sprinkles are a disaster, and now the cupcakes are ugly. And here's the thing. I had actually figured out how to frost them finally. If you were listening earlier in the week, you know that I was lamenting the fact that I do not frost well. It's the one baking skill that I have not yet acquired. I don't frost cupcakes or cakes really very well, though cakes better than cupcakes. So I'd finally figured out how to do it. I came up with a technique on Thursday evening that worked. The sprinkles were perfect. I mixed in some blue, some red, some white, and then a couple other colors that I thought were pretty since we're kind of post July 4th. And sadly, the cupcakes were smashed. So now they're ugly, and I don't know. I'll eat them. I can't eat all six of them, though, that I brought in, so I don't know what I should do. I tried to fix them. They don't look pretty anymore. Maybe boys don't care. It is boys that I'll be sharing the cupcakes with, but I almost cried. I know that's what happens when you're a girl and you're emotional, or when you're this girl and you're emotional. Nearly cried over smashed cupcakes. At least I didn't drop my ice cream cone on the sidewalk. That would have been worse. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I can already hear and read and feel the snarky comments coming my way. I don't have a Threads account. It is now the new question gripping the United States of America. That and whether or not Victor Wembanyama or Britney Spears is a bigger celebrity in Vegas. Not even really sure that's a question. It's crazy, though, how two worlds collide. I wouldn't think Britney Spears would have any idea who Victor Wembanyama was. But maybe just the sheer size of Wemby in Vegas. That's kind of her stomping grounds, no? But now Victor is patrolling Sin City and everybody wants a piece of him. So whether it's the gripping, and I mean gripping debate over who was in the right and who was in the wrong, or whether it's Twitter versus Threads. I'm kind of bummed that nobody liked my hashtag that I used on Thursday morning. Are you ready? Happy trails to Twitter Threads. I thought it was very clever, but for some reason, nobody really liked it. So I will just keep my humor to myself and my seven followers on Twitter. I'm not moving to Threads unless the company makes me or Twitter dies, in which case I might throw a party complete with my own fireworks. See how snarky I am right now? I'm so just so cranky. Anyway, I'm not moving to Threads. But did you know 44 million plus already on Threads? I need to Google and just figure out how many are on Twitter. Because I'm telling you, people are leaving Twitter in droves. I've noticed that ever since Elon Musk took over. So this goes back to the end of March. So it's not real current. March and then May. The number for Twitter users is somewhere around 400 million. Threads has a ways to go. Yeah, actually, Facebook and Instagram, and this is where Meta has the advantage. Instagram, which is supposed to be the sister to Threads, has users in the billions with a B. So Twitter not considered much of a threat to Facebook and Insta. The thing is, Insta is connected to Threads because it's a another Meta platform. If you're taking sides and loyal to one or the other, you'll have to let us know. We'll be sad to lose you. But as I've said last night on the show, I've noticed that Twitter users and Twitter users on our accounts, whether my personal or our show account, they're both down. Maybe it's just me, but I hear from other members of the media that it's happening for them too. A lot of bots have been cleaned up off the site, not enough. I'll move to Threads on one condition. If they do not have any porn bots. No porn bots and no, what are those? I guess they're really accounts that, well, they're fake accounts, obviously. But they're accounts that will petition you. And they're actually pornography on the front page. So I took Marco Belletti's advice last week and stopped blocking them because he said if you even engage with the account very often, that indicates that you're open for business or that it makes it look like you clicked on one of the accounts, which of course was not the case, but I've stopped paying any attention to them. However, if Threads can promise me there will be no porn bots, I'll move over. What do you think, Jay? Should we move to Threads?
There may not be any porn bots on it at the moment, but give it about like another 48 hours. It's going to be flooded with them probably. It seems to work like that with all these social media sites.
Yeah, I can't do any more social media. Did you check out Threads? Here's the other thing. This is strange, but I read this. I didn't know it's not a website. Like you can pull up Twitter on a laptop or a desktop or a device. It's an app. It's only an app. It's essentially like one of those dating apps that they don't actually have a home on the internet. It's not a website. It's only an app.
That kind of makes sense. It's the same with Instagram.
And it's not available on iPhone is what I've heard. Now, I could be wrong. Check it out and see if you can find it. Because It's fine if you don't want to.
Right now?
No, don't download it. Just see if it's available. Because what I've heard is that right now it's only available on iOS and Android. Or maybe is Apple?
I think iOS is Apple.
Okay. Well, then that's my fault. Then it's only available on those two. It's not available anywhere else, which that kind of feels like it would encompass everything. Yeah, I can't do any more social media. In fact, right now, the only thing I can think about is how frustrating it is that there's a bug flying around in my studio. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Yeah, Instagram has 4 times more active users than Twitter. That's according to SimilarWeb. Don't ask me what that means.
So it looks like I can download it.
Ooh, are you gonna?
No.
No?
No.
No?
I honestly really have no interest in checking it out. Oh. Should I? Just for...
No.
Conversation purposes?
I don't know. Are you going to talk about it with your friends?
Probably not.
I wonder how many of your friends have moved over.
I don't think any of my friends are really active tweeters, to be honest. So.
No, and you're not either.
No. But I do check Twitter. Like I'm an active user. Like I guess I'm like a ghost user, if you will, because I use it for news. I'm on Twitter all the time. I just don't tweet out.
You DM people?
I slide in now and then.
Ew, stop it. Blah, blah, blah. Don't say it like that. It's creepy. Yeah, so the top story right now in sports is how many people are flocking to Threads. And the joke is that Twitter is dying, or as it's dying, it's like fiddling while Rome burns. We're continuing to use it, even if it's dying. We're going to be going down with the ship.
I do get that feel that it's dying, though. I do.
Do you?
Really do.
I don't know if it's dying. It doesn't seem like people are leaving Twitter. They're just opening up a thread or threads or opening up threads. They're opening up a threads.
But if you start a thread, then what you're not going to post the same thread as a tweet. It's going to be there on the thread, right? So you're not going to actively have the same conversation on two different platforms. I feel like people.
I don't know. Don't people use both Twitter and Instagram?
But Instagram isn't really, or hasn't been until now, for threads like that. It was just you post a picture, someone leaves a comment, or you post a story. Now this is supposed to be like a full-on like conversation, like Twitter has been, like an open forum for discussion, which that was never the case for Instagram. So
interesting. I don't have Insta, so I don't know, but I do know that Insta and Threads are tied together, and if you only have an Instagram account, you can set it up so that anything you post on Insta automatically goes to your Threads feed. And probably, maybe not vice versa, but I would think that there's a possibility there. But I think that a lot of people in our business, and I'm just speaking about people in the sports media industry, are setting up the other account, the Threads account, so that they can catch whatever stragglers, whatever other people might be over there. And thinking that maybe it is going to be a trend that carries, as opposed to some of these other Twitter competitors who flamed out. But I don't know how many, I haven't seen no one who's actually closed their Twitter account.
No, I think the day that Twitter will be dead is that when we see breaking
will be dead.
When we see news break on Threads, if that happens.
How are we going to see it though?
The same way we see it on Twitter. News breaks on Twitter all the time, where that's like the spot where someone goes to check it out. If you know, Shams makes a report, Damian Lillard gets traded, and Sham makes a thread about it rather than a tweet, then I'm going to go to Threads to check out from my news.
Yeah, I just can't imagine that any of those insiders are going to completely forsake Twitter.
Yeah, not yet, at least.
Yeah, especially if you have, say, I don't know, 50, there are people out there who have 500K users. I'm just randomly picking one. That's a lot to give up. Tim on our Twitter says, Instagram sucks. No one uses it. That's funny because I have a lot of girlfriends and that's the only one they use. A lot of my girlfriends, they only use Instagram. My nieces only use Instagram. So they don't use Twitter or Facebook. So I think a younger generation, a lot of them will use Insta or Snapchat, which my nieces don't use anymore either. The other one that my younger niece will use is TikTok, but I think that was mostly during the pandemic and she's kind of dropped it since then. So yeah, YouTube and Insta are the ones that Gen Z or I guess younger millennials will use anyway. I don't know, Tim, you might be dating yourself. No one uses Insta.
I'd argue Insta is the most popular one amongst the youth.
The youth? Does that not include you?
I'm not a Gen Z, so.
You're not a Ute?
I'm a millennial. So I'm officially no, I guess, right? There's a whole other generation below me.
Don't ask me, because I'm neither cool nor a Ute. So I'm not sure how to classify you. I just know that there's a lot of chatter about it. Whether here, it's funny when there's chatter on Twitter about Threads, though. To me, that's boosting your competition. If Twitter is telling people where to go, and Elon Musk seems to find the whole thing funny, except that Twitter has now filed a cease and desist request to try to get Threads turned off. Threads broken, to try to get Threads cut.
What do you mean? Like
because according to the news report that I heard as I was driving into work, Elon Musk and Twitter officials are accusing Threads, essentially Meta and Zuck, of poaching Twitter employees to set up Threads.
Oh, okay.
And that it might be a little bit too close to the Twitter design and that it's essentially stealing Twitter's prototype.
Kind of like how Mark Zuckerberg stole the Facebook algorithm the first time?
Oh, yes, absolutely, like that. And if you don't have a corner on the market, if you don't have it patented or whatever else, then I'm not sure how that works. But yes, right now, anyway, Elon Musk may be making jokes about it, but his company is also suing to get Threads shut down. So there's that.
That's going to be expensive in a long legal battle.
Not sure he's worried about the money, considering he bought Twitter and it's been nothing but a mess since then. Well, it was always a mess. It's a cesspool. So all of that to say, what's happening in the sports world these days doesn't have a whole lot to do with sports. Oh, my goodness. On Twitter, you can find me at A-Law Radio. I'd love to know if you've already set up a Threads account or if you plan on checking out Threads. I'm trying not to yawn on the air, but I'm telling you, this may be the end. I may not be able to do this anymore. I may be done. I just may have finally come to the end of what I can do in terms of the overnight schedule. And then also on our Facebook page, because that's not dying anytime soon. Yeah. Meta is still alive and well. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. What was down is up in Major League Baseball. What was up is on the way down. But it's a really long season, so a bazillion things can happen. And this whole bizarre situation with Britney Spears wanting to meet isn't he 19 or something like that? Why would Britney Spears want to meet a 19-year-old?
I stopped questioning what Britney Spears does a long time
ago. Aren't her sons probably that age, if not
close,
older?
They're definitely in their teens, I would
Wait,
say.
Let's Google it. No, gosh, they've got to be older than that. I feel like they've been around for Britney.
I don't know if she's even 40.
Britney Spears, are you kidding?
Yeah.
Yeah, she is. Britney Spears' sons. All right, let's check it out. Just for fun.
She's 41.
Yeah. No, I know she's 40.
That wasn't so off.
I'm just saying. Okay, so her sons are 17 and 16. So they are definitely right about that age. Huh. Interesting. Why in the world would you want to meet Victor Wembanyama? And also, I really need to know if he knew who she was. Not then, because he says the security guards didn't tell him who it was that they slapped in the face accidentally. But he didn't find out till later that it was Britney Spears. But do you think he knew who Britney Spears was? I mean, I'm not saying she's still super famous, of course. And she still, I guess, not that long ago was in the news because of the whole conservatorship, plus getting her independence, plus getting married, plus she's been posting on her social media completely nude because that's a great idea when you're 40. But anyway, she keeps herself in the news. And so he might have known who she is, but when was the last time her music was relevant?
It's been a while. And he's also from France. I mean, I don't know how big she is.
Oh, no, she was a worldwide phenomenon.
Yeah.
But I don't know how old he was the last time she was a big hit.
Two, maybe.
Producer Jay is speculating. All right, so find us on Twitter. Find us on Facebook. We don't have anything else. Oh, no, we have YouTube. I lied. We are a video version of Ask Amy Anything. We do have YouTube, so okay. We're not hip in the slightest. Well, I'll speak for me. I'm not hip in the slightest. And now my cupcakes are ruined. And I'm cranky. So all of that to say, maybe tonight's not the night you want to listen. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
One ball, one strike. He's set at the belt. The pitch to Schwarber. Swing at a ground ball through the right side. A base hit. Coming around third, Sosa, he's going to score. Stubbs will stop at second, and Kyle Schwarber with a base hit to right has put the Phillies on top, 2-1. Big Phillies chant erupting now. The 1-0, swung on, line to right, base hit. Stubbs coming around third, they're going to wave him home. It's an RBI single for Turner, and the Phillies now lead 3-1.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
A pair of runs in extra innings for the Phillies, and they wrap up a sweep of the team that was the top front runner in Major League Baseball for the entire first half. But Phillies have found their groove. Now, they're not making up a whole lot of ground in their own division, but they have won 22 of 29 overall, and they've sent the Rays careening down a steep cliff. The Rays have lost a season high 5 games in a row. And get this, this is despite what their pitching staff has done. This game alone, Rays pitchers, 13 strikeouts, no walks. And I think they only allowed 4 hits, if I remember the box score correctly. The pitching staff is doing its job. But the offense is crickets. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. First, Philadelphia, though, 12 straight road wins and a sweep of, again, the team that was previously the best in Major League Baseball.
They're a good club. They are, but we're pretty good, too. So I feel good about it. Our pitching was outstanding. Our bullpen tonight was outstanding. We hit when we needed to hit. We played good defense pretty much for the entire series. And that's really what you have to do against these guys. You can't give them extra bases, can't give them free passes, extra outs, that type of thing. You just got to hold them down.
I love how Rob Thompson says it. Yeah, they're good, but, you know, we're pretty good too. So then what's going on, Kevin Cash?
I felt good this entire stretch. We just We just haven't got it done. But yeah, I mean, Sanchez threw the ball well. I don't what separates him from anything. I personally think that's probably a little bit more on us. We're just not doing it.
So before the game, and just if things are not coming easy right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I've said that for about 15 games now.
Yeah.
Yes.
Still not coming easy right now.
No.
He mentions Christopher Sanchez, who started for the Phillies and got through six, allowing just the one run. And so for the Rays total, they only have four hits. It's been quite the scuffle for them offensively. But as I say, because of what the Braves have done over the last month or so, even with the Phillies doing what they're doing and only dropping seven of their last 29 games, they're still 11 back in their division. 11 back. Now that speaks to where they were, not just where they are, but it also is a testament to the Braves and the torrid pace they're on, the fact that they're 30 games above 500, though they were off on Thursday evening. And they still have the Marlins in between them, too. Marlins losing on Thursday. So that's the Phillies. You got another hot team in that same division that's trying to resurrect the season.
The 2-1. Punched deep down the left field line, a laser beam that gets out for a homer. Oh, a screamer by Alonso down the left field line into the Arizona bullpen. Swinging a high fly ball to left field. Carroll going back. He'll turn. It's gone. Into the third row, Francisco Alvarez makes it 7-0 Mets. Jameson's small windup, the 0-1. Swinging a crack in the air, deep right center field. It is out of here. What a shot. Could have been a splash hit in that pool in right center field. 9-0 New York Mets.
And they complete the sweep of the Arizona Diamondbacks, which the Dodgers are thrilled about. The Dodgers are now a half game back of Arizona because the D-backs are going the wrong way. So the Dodgers getting a couple victories over the Pirates these last two nights and now just a half game behind the leaders in the NL West. But if you're wondering about the Mets, okay, so they've won five in a row. They're 17 and a half back in their division. However, with the wild cards, and it's too early to be scoreboard watching, there's still such a long way to go. We're not even to the All-Star break yet. It's getting tighter. And in order to keep fan bases active and to keep owners and general managers from completely blowing it up at the All-Star break, you have to be within striking distance. You got to be at least partly relevant. And that's the beauty of baseball, is really there's such a long way to go that so much can happen. The Phillies are a testament to that. From last year when they fired their manager in the first couple of months of the season, Joe Girardi was out, Rob Thompson was in, and look, they made the World Series. I mean, out of that same division, the Washington Nationals, they were, 12 games below 500 in May, the year that they won the World Series? So it typically can happen, and usually does, that teams can make drastic moves that they find their footing. In the case of the Rays, though, they're trying to right the ship now because they were hot and now they're backpedaling. So yeah, you see everything happen over the course of a 162 game season. I know we've highlighted the plight and the ineptitude of the two central divisions. At this point, I can't say there's a whole lot that's changing in the AL Central, but in the NL Central, at least, you've got some life there and a fun team to watch. And we'd asked you earlier this week, the best surprise or the top surprises of the first half of the baseball season. And the Reds was a very popular answer. So we'll get to them coming up. Also, we have an update on the cameraman that was hit in the side of the head with that, I guess that stray throw, errant throw by the Orioles rookie on Wednesday night. So we'll let you know the latest there and another day, another wrinkle to the trade request from Damian Lillard. Oh goodness, it's getting a little ugly. UGLY, you ain't got no alibi, yo ugly. Not you, Marco. That's not, not talking about you. I'm definitely not talking about you.
It's all right. You could say it.
It's not, well, I would never say that. Did you hear about the cupcakes? Because I brought you a cupcake, but now I'm embarrassed.
Why?
Because.
No, what am I missing?
Well, you know that I made Funfetti cupcakes.
Yes, but I wasn't here for that. Right.
Right. So I brought in cupcakes to share because you're here tonight and the morning, early morning crew has been complaining about the fact that they didn't get any Funfetti festive cupcakes.
Same morning crew that stole your candy?
Yes.
Okay.
And,
just curious.
And actually, we've lost our Teddy Grahams now, too. So we don't know what those are either.
Huh.
Yeah. Anyway, I brought in some cupcakes. I decorated them last night. I was all excited to share them, including you. And some nincompoop slammed on his brakes, went sideways on the highway in front of me. I had to slam on my brakes. Cupcakes went flying. Don't laugh. I almost cried.
Whoa, I didn't say anything.
Well, you look like you were about to smile about my smashed cupcakes. And so now I'm embarrassed to show them
to
anyone.
Time out. All right, finish the story on the highway, though.
Yes,
so obviously, you didn't hit anything, right?
No, I didn't because I slammed on my brakes and I just got new brakes. So thankfully, Princess Leia stopped on a dime.
Okay.
But the cupcakes did not stop. They had inertia and they kept going and they flipped upside down. They smashed into the front of my passenger seat and now they're ugly and I'm embarrassed to give them out. And I almost cried because my cupcakes are ugly.
They're edible, correct?
Well, they're very good.
So then what's the problem?
Will you eat an ugly cupcake?
I've never discriminated against a cupcake before.
Okay.
Why would I start now?
Well,
why would it be ugly? I don't understand.
Because the frosting got smashed.
All right.
Okay, just in the future when your daughter bakes something for you and something goes wrong with it and she comes to you and is really sad, don't do that. Don't say, who cares?
Okay, I feel like the point of the cupcake is to eat it, correct?
We as girls like it to be pretty. Plus, I put a lot of emphasis into frosting the cupcakes, and now they're smushied.
Oh, okay, and I am sorry for this. However, they're still edible, and they're still good.
Okay.
So, what, you know.
I'm going to give you the ugliest cupcake.
Sure.
Okay.
You could have did that from the start.
No. Jay, will you eat the other ugliest cupcake?
Yeah, it really doesn't matter at all to me.
Okay. It's chocolate all over the Tupperware. It looks awful.
Yeah, I mean, okay. And I guess I can understand it to a point. To me, you didn't do that on purpose, nor did you have anything really involved to doing that. And plus, they're still good. You know, if they went bad, you left them in the car for 3 weeks and they had mold on them. That's a problem.
Ew,
that's
no.
a problem. That's an issue.
Gross.
Right. They're still edible and they're still good. So what's the difference?
All right. I'll bring one. Are you going to be here next hour?
Of course.
Okay. I'll bring one. You can try it on the air.
Why do you want me to eat on the air? All right.
Well, because I just need to see you eating it and not accidentally like spitting it into your napkin or something.
Again, how could messing up the frosting change the taste?
It won't.
So it doesn't
ugly.
Matter. Nah, see, that's too much. It's unnecessary.
Oh, okay.
So to top. Well, again, food.
Hey.
It's about
food.
I'm hungry.
If I feel badly about my cupcakes, you can't tell me it's over the top. That's like telling a chick to relax. Relax. Don't do that. Ever.
I've done that many times. I'm aware.
Okay, cupcake next hour. Ugly cupcake next hour. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Here's C.J. Abrams with a runner at second, one out, and Abrams lifts a fly ball to right field, moving back on it, Senzel on the warning track. He leaps and makes the catch, leaping into the wall. What a play by Senzel.
That was a game saver.
Turned around, contorting his body, leaped up, made the catch, and kept the runner at second.
And he hits this ball high and deep and way back there and gone. Nick Senzel is the hero of the day. How about that? Oh, my goodness. Make a great play, lead off the next inning with a bomb. 5-3 Reds, and I mean that dugout is exploding on the third base side. Woo!
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
On the Reds radio network, they remain hot with a flair for the dramatic. Nick Senzel, who actually played three different positions in tonight's game, he hits his seventh home run, but only after he preserves the Reds' chances and keeps them in it with a game-saving catch against the wall in the bottom of the ninth. So Senzel, with his seventh homer of the year, comes at the perfect time as the Reds are hurtling toward the All-Star break.
I think I'm just looking for a fastball, kind of middle, and I know he throws hard. I just try to be short to it and quick and let his velocity kind of take over, and that's kind of what I did.
We're talking about the Phillies and where they were and the fact that they have won 22 of 29. Well, you look at the consistency of the Reds, 20 of 24 is what they've logged now, and they have the sweep of Washington. The challenge, though, of course, is the divisions and where you play. And even though the Phillies and the Reds have roughly the same record, same number of losses, Reds just have two more wins. Cincinnati is first in its division, where the Phillies are 11 back in their division. Gosh, that is the beauty or the quirkiness of Major League Baseball. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. I like what the Reds have done. I love that they are a story. They're the story. Well, I shouldn't say the story. I would probably put the Marlins in there as the story of this first half. Baltimore is picking up where it left off at the end of last season. And then stories that are more the negative slant, the Guardians being below 500 after winning the AL Central. The Yankees have, of course, lost Aaron Judge. That's a story, too. Even if you expected it, the fact that he got paid the way that he did, he's the reigning MVP, and he runs through a wall at Dodger Stadium and ends up tearing a toe ligament, and we may not see him for who knows how long, another month, maybe more. That really stinks. So that's definitely a story. The Rangers being on top of the AL West, while the Astros are still scuffling around a bit. Funny, as I was mentioning the record that the Phillies and the Reds have, the Astros are in that same place. They have exact same record as the Reds at this point in the season. And the Angels with Shohei Ohtani going the wrong direction, and we talked about them earlier this week. The Mets, even though they've won five in a row, and we'll get to their series with the Dodgers or their game with the Dodgers a little more because, their game with the Diamondbacks a little more because there's news and fireworks from that game on Thursday. So there's a lot happening in baseball. And as I said, and as I try to emphasize a bunch, there's still so much time to go. But the issue is, of course, these teams have to decide whether or not they want to be buyers or sellers at the deadline. And if they're on the fence, sometimes it's about what kind of deals they can get and whether or not it would be worth it. But it's always so tough because it's end of July and there's still a whole 2 months left in the regular season. And when you are a seller at the deadline, well, then you sometimes alienate your fan base. And if you are a buyer but it doesn't work, then you've given away assets or you've wasted assets in a place where it turned out to be not worth it. But there's no way to know that without your crystal ball. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. All right, we promised you an update on the cameraman from the YES Network, which is the Yankees' home TV network. Pete Stendel, he got tagged in the face by an errant throw from Gunnar Henderson, the rookie shortstop for the Orioles. Thankfully, he was conscious, and when he went to the hospital, what we found out is that he had a broken orbital bone, which sounds really painful. I'm sure that it is, but it could have been far worse. So I'm glad that he got the medical attention that he needed right away. Meanwhile, Gunnar, you can imagine, feels terrible, but had one heck of a game to kind of put himself in the right track again on Thursday.
The 3-2. Put in the air, left field, down the line. It's in the corner. Kiner Falefa chasing it, and it will exit the ballpark. It's a leadoff home run from Gunnar Henderson that kept carrying down the line and stayed fair. Runners take their lead. 2-2 pitch, line drive, base hit into right field. One runs in. Around third, Rutschman, he'll score standing up. And the Orioles get two more. Ryan O'Hearn with three RBIs in this inning. Pitch to Henderson. High fly ball, deep right field. Forget about it. This one is way back and gone. Tape measure shot for Gunnar Henderson. Second homer of the game. Number 13 on the year. And the Orioles are pouring it on the Bronx Bombers.
The offense has kind of been scuffling the past few games, and to come out here and to split the series with the Yankees on the road is pretty big.
This is really a rhetorical question, but should the Yankees at their stadium be playing Frank Sinatra's New York, if they lose? It seems like the Cubs playing their song if they, anyway, whatever. It's music. People show up sometimes. They want to hear it. So, you know, behind Gunnar Henderson on Masson Sports, you have the anthem of the Yankees playing in the background. Gunnar goes 4-for-7 with a pair of home runs and five RBI, and that was part of the Orioles smashing the Yankees on Thursday. 14 runs on 20 hits. But the best news, I'm sure, for Gunnar, I have no doubt that he would have heard about it, maybe he was even asking about it when he got to the ballpark, is that the YES Network cameraman, Pete Stendel, is at home resting, and he has the broken orbital bone. But and for a time, it was really scary, right? As the game was delayed, they got him to the hospital. But his family is thrilled with the support and people asking about him, and he is resting as comfortably as you can at home. All right, we're going to switch our attention to basketball coming up next after Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
For 25 years, Stamps.com has made mailing and shipping easy. All you need is a computer and printer. Imagine mailing and shipping right from your desk, anytime. No traffic, no waiting, no hassle. Plus, Stamps.com gives you discounts up to 84%. Sign up for Stamps.com today. Use code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus postage and a digital scale. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.